from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
Welcome to the rewrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, concern over school boards, the Board of Trustees, how useful are they? Should we shake it up? We'll mark the week. That's what we do on Fridays. Jennifer Lawrence, she's getting all the publicity she could ever wish. Food Miles, remember Food Miles? But first up, should Radio New Zealand get their own TV channel?
Small debate going on in the media circles at the moment over the government's decision to cough $38 million towards Radio New Zealand to have them produce some sort of television channel. Established players who are either barely keeping their head above water or indeed in a world of debt and below water have complained that none of this $38 million and more TV can lead anywhere good, and they are probably right. What's also of concern, and it's amazing how when you're dealing with PC matters these days, how little outcry you get, but what's also of concern is the Murray Television announcement that they're carrying free-to-air WWE wrestling. That's right, wrestling. On yet another state-funded television channel, I thought, funded to support or grow the indigenous language or culture. What WWE wrestling has to do with Murray culture, I've got no idea, but maybe I shouldn't ask, for fear that a petition will be started accusing me of behaving insensitively. There are a couple of wrongs here, the most obvious being taxpayer money is being used for commercial crap. That is well and truly beyond the bounds of any sort of charter-type guidance for a publicly funded operation. Now, to be fair, public money through New Zealand On Air has been used for all sorts of lightweight nonsense over the years, and the model is clearly broken given they're funding podcasts and net content these days with no real way of working out whether there is any bang for buck. But the Murray TV model, I would have thought, is very specific and therefore very clear in what it's actually there to do. And what it's not there to do is provide commercial rubbish of no relatable connection to a culture. They will defend it by saying they're looking to run a Maori commentary. But that proves what? Nothing. They could argue that a populist program, I guess, might attract more viewers and in doing so expose them to the language, but do you really believe that? But that's before we get to the second part of this being a mistake. WWE was once WWF, and WWF was on television here in the early 2000s, but was pulled, in part, because of the violence. As theatrical as it is nevertheless violent. Are taxpayers feeling good about funding violent programming on a Maori television channel designed to promote Maori culture? I don't think we need to answer that, do we? So where are the questions? Where are the people who are handing our money out? Where are they and why aren't they demanding a few answers as to why we have a channel delving into a programming world well outside their remit using other people's money? Or is that all a bit sensitive these days to even be crass enough to ask the question at all?
Oh, I think you can say crass things out in public these days. Just this morning, the President of the United States of America described people with mental health issues as, quote, sickos, unquote. So I think you can pretty much say whatever you want. Like, what use are school boards of trustees?
There are schools that have wonderful boards of trustees and they would not want to see them go for love nor money. And as the debate was going on this week, we need more money to be paid. I mean, you're either into it or you're not. You're either an enthusiast, you're not. You're either volunteering, you're not. If you're in it for the money, you're in it for completely the wrong reasons. But the very reason I argue against health boards in terms of voting people on is the reason I would probably argue against boards of trustees. There is nothing preventing you getting idiots. And what you want are people, experts running things. You don't want idiots. And sadly, it is true that idiots tend to favour democracy and wanting to get themselves on committees. I mean, we all know it to be true. It's not PC to say, but we know it's true. You've all sat around a table of 12, thought you're an idiot and you're a dick. And if you weren't here, things would go so much faster. We've all been there, haven't we?
We've all heard of elections where there's only been one candidate.
Correct.
As well.
And in the councils, there's a lot of those around the council, around the country.
Imagine if you had a general election that worked that way. But, you know, there's just one party that could be bothered turning up. Or, you know, that's the way that your party's leadership worked. You just had one. Oh, hang on. Sorry, Winston, I didn't mean to malign you. Hey, shall we quickly mark the week now? It's Friday. It's really what we do.
So time now to mark the week. The little piece of news and current events that's as popular as a nip slip in the skating. The National Party leadership race, Stephen Joyce, 9. Experienced, self-made, the best of the bunch. They're idiots not to pick him. Mark Mitchell, 7. Good bloke, a name for the future, but this is a profile exercise, not a real bid. Judith Collins, 8. If Joyce hadn't entered, she's your woman. Amy Adams, 7. Good on finance. Joyce to lead. Her on the books. That's a good combo. She's never struck me as an obvious leader in waiting. Simon Bridges, 7. Popular. Wouldn't be the end of the world, but I think he's faded, hasn't he, this week? I think he's faded, given the quality of the field. The TPP, 9. Free trade wins. And even when Labor changed their mind, you know it's a compelling case. Aid agencies, 2. No, not all are involved, but we don't know how many are. The depravity involved with those busted defies belief, and the entire industry needs review and reconsideration. And I hope never more do we merely reach into our pocket at the shake of a bucket and not ask questions. Universities, concerns over kids on free education picking the wrong courses, 7. They are right to raise this. It is everything that's wrong with handing out other people's money. The discipline and efficiencies go out the window. Barnaby Joyce, 6.
G'day, Mike. Good on you.
Yeah, he's a fighter, all right. I'll give him that. And he's been hard done by as well. I mean, the faux indignation of the tabloids now well outweighs Joyce's private indiscretions. It's more circus than crime. Hillary and her tour. 2. It's been called an average TED talk. It's a rip-off. How to line your pockets out of being a loser. Unreal. UK KFC, 2. They sell chicken, and they got no chicken. Unreal. Unilever, 9. My corporate hero for the second week in a row. Last week it was their millions in advertising being pulled of Facebook and co. didn't tidy up their act. This week it's laying their palm oil trail bare. Good corporates deserve recognition for good moves. Kauri Dieback, 6.
Timber!
They closed the park. Why? Because the Rahui didn't work. Why do you think the Rahui didn't work? And just how many originally were dumb enough to think it would? The Russia probe, 8. Yes, the Ruskies interfered. No, they won't go to court. But how much collusion was there? None. And who said there was no collusion? Trump. Score 1 for the president. Carlos Garcia, 9. Living the dream and standing by tomorrow to make it 3 medals for a Games to remember. What do you reckon, eh? And that's our week. Copies on the website, and this will be packaged up, wrapped in swaddling cloth, and gifted to the Genta household to give their pending child the best possible start.
Now, not sure where Julianne Genta stands on Jennifer Lawrence's dress sense, but for some reason she's copped some flack. Because she wore a pretty dress or something. What does Mike think about this?
By the way, congratulations to Jennifer Lawrence this week, who came out yesterday. If you haven't followed the story, she turns up in a photo with the co-stars in her latest film in London, and it's clearly cold in London. And they're standing there in a couple of coats, and they're all rugged up, and she's in a Versace dress, not dissimilar to the one that Liz Hurley wore all those years ago with the safety pins. And she looks fantastic. And of course, all the feminazis and the angsties get out and go, she's being abused. Me too. Hashtag me too. Look at her. Why is she wearing a dress? And the other guys are all warmed up. This is typical of Hollywood. This is typical of the movie industry. And so off they went, and away it went around the world, went viral. She comes out and goes, what a pile of crap. I wore the dress because I loved it. And if I want to freeze, I'm allowed to freeze, and I chose to freeze, and I was only out there for 5 minutes. I was happy to do it. I'd do it again. Maybe next time I'll wear a bikini under a puffer jacket. And one of the lessons we need to learn in this world is if the star of the show, if the center of attention, if the person the story is about isn't remotely bothered, upset, embarrassed, or worried in any way, shape, or form, then maybe we could learn not to get all upset on their behalf.
So it sounds like J-Law is very secure in her body image at the moment, given that earlier on in the week a story came out about how she's just wandering around the set of this movie Red Sparrow in the nude because there was a nude scene in there, and then she couldn't be bothered putting on a robe in between takes. I've had a great time just imagining that whole scenario in my head. She's my favourite, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I may have revealed a bit much there. I'm not sure how any of this is going to help her fix democracy. You know how she's taking a year off movies to fix democracy, but she gets my vote every time. We're going to finish up here with a little bit of Food Miles talk. Remember Food Miles?
I'll talk about Food Miles just very briefly. The KFC thing in Britain with the chicken. But what I didn't realise, your Big Mac in Britain, your Big Mac, has travelled almost 8,000 miles before it's got to your table. Now, the interesting
that
thing to me...
That may explain why it tastes the way it does.
It could be. It could be why it's got a half-life of 1,000 years. You could send it to space and bring it back in 1,000... It's still there. But whatever happened to food miles? Remember the food miles argument? Remember that was going to change? And remember how we were all going to eat locally and seasonally and grow quinoa in our... in our pots on the deck. Remember all that? It's all gone. Whatever happened to that? Anyway, more on that with Kate and Tim.
I'm so hungry right now.
I actually like Big Macs. I don't know why I said that. Because it's just sort of a well-worn trope, isn't it, to make fun of McDonald's hamburgers. But that's one I don't mind. Can't stop thinking about them now, actually, almost to the point of obsession. And don't even get me started on Burger King Eggs Benny muffins. Oh, my mouth is actually watering. I'm slobbering all over the mic. You probably, possibly, hopefully can't hear that, but maybe I shouldn't have described that to you. I am Glenn ZB. I'm going off to wipe my face. That was the rewrap. I'll try and tidy my act up for you again by the time I get here on Monday.